Sister Gang, por grupo projector.
Rasmus, about a week ago, you were approached by George.
Don't worry about your life. Life is meaningless.
2 tickets to the 36th annual Maritime Academy fundraiser. Balsamport's premier showcase of local talent, attended by the graduating class of the Maritime Academy and the lucky few given the opportunity to purchase tickets, everyone in town just calls it Sailor Prom.
Emily, let's go to Sailor Prom!
The big night approacheth, and upon entering the hall, there is 300 or 400 people milling about. In the center of the room, a large wooden model of a lighthouse.
The last time Essie was near Sailor Prom, she was working at it.
There is something that will bring destruction upon many.
I look around, try to see if I can find where Essie has gotten off to.
You take a step backwards and you bump into someone. Excuse me.
Sorry.
I wasn't watching where I was.
No, me, I was, yeah.
How about you roll to investigate a mystery?
I don't think I'm good at that. Oh yeah, I'm not sharp.
You find yourself sort of subconsciously kind of stepping back from the crowds a little bit. It looks like a summoning circle.
And then text to Morvana, SOS.
And you just kind of materialize.
What have you found?
Call Rasmus. Be at the back door in 15 minutes. A big buff guy's gonna let you in.
I'm relatively certain you're going to be fine.
Old-fashioned way, then, I guess.
There's some light coming out from under one of the bathroom doors. He is gonna come straight at you.
Why are you attacking Essie? I'm gonna kick some ass to back him the fuck off.
I like to think that Morwenna just comes around the corners, everyone's screaming and putting, like, band-aids on, and she just, like, looks in the room and goes, fuck this.
And he tenses up, and he can't move.
And Essie's going to run.
I don't know whose side you're on, but you gotta be more polite.
If I see a fire alarm, can I just pull it?
Take my thumb and, like, cut the circle.
I'll go back and let Rasmus know that it looks like the coast is clear.
The only person unaccounted for is Louis Starling. You have completed this adventure. Or have you? Twist!
If I've learned anything over my years, and I haven't.
So, we're going to start with Morwenna. It would be a regular day at the Archive. The past couple of days have been unpleasant, I guess would be a way to put it. The whole city has been basically shrouded with fog and overcast. It's been gray and just dreary, and it stinks. It smells so bad in the city right now. It's been 2 or 3 days. It doesn't matter where you go. If you're inside, you can almost feel it coming in, like, under the doors. You can escape it for a little while, but every time you go outside, it's just awful. Like low tide at the abattoir. Unpleasant. And it is under this atmosphere that you find yourself working in the Archive at the front desk. And you hear the front door open, and in walks a short elderly man with a ring of gray hair and a gray beard. Standing about 4.5 feet tall, he walks up to the front counter and says, "Miss Morwenna Slaughter, it's a pleasure to finally meet you. I'm Daniel Richards." As he extends his hand to you.
I'm gonna take that hand very disdainfully.
He notices this and doesn't make the handshake last any longer than it has to.
Pleasure to.
I was told that you finally took up our offer to come to the fundraising dinner a few weeks ago, and you were there with a few friends.
Oh, yes.
And I wanted to apologize. We tried to put on a good show, but that's not really the kind of excitement we're looking for. And I really hope that this hasn't hurt your opinion of the Academy. They're so appreciative of your generosity letting their students study here. So I wanted to make sure that everyone was okay and that while you were there, it was still all right.
Yeah, well, yes. Everything was fine. The food was great. My colleagues enjoyed themselves.
It is such a relief to hear you say that. It was... I have a very dear spot in my heart for that old institution. I think it's something that really should be preserved. The Academy is something special. Much like your own archives, even this whole city, I think, is something that deserves protection and should be preserved. I'll admit, something I could do without is this stench hanging over the city. Been 2 days of the boys wandering around the docks, and between you and I don't think they're gonna find it.
There's a cause for this awful stench?
Well, there has to be something. Everything happens for a reason, after all. But the main reason I was here is I wanted to extend an invitation. I'll send you a proper invitation soon, but I'd love to have you and your guests over sometime. We'll talk and have dinner. I do honestly hope you'll accept. No need to answer now. I'll be in touch.
All right. Do you have a card or a phone number? That's what people do, right?
I'll send you a proper invite when I've got a few minutes. I won't take up any more of your time. Thank you so much.
Of course.
And he goes to shake your hand again and then thinks better of it. And he turns and heads towards the door. And you just happen to notice as you're looking back down at the desk, when he walks out, it was really dark outside. And then the door clicks shut behind him.
Oh, no. Well, I'm assuming since I'm at the front desk that Emily's fucked off.
If you're at the front desk, that probably means I'm at home?
I'm assuming it must be your day off. Okay, is the door still, like, is it still... I'm gonna open the door and see if it's still a dark hole, or if it was just, you know, cloudy.
No, it's the regular overcast day. You are hit in the face with the stench.
I slammed that door right back shut.
It's just as bad as you remember.
I'm gonna do some research on this fella and search up his name.
Sure, would you like to investigate a mystery?
Yeah, that sounds like a
plan. Oh, I suppose we jumped in. We have a few before mystery things to do, don't we?
Oh, fuck,
we do,
yeah,
but I mean,
it
was fine. You were doing your thing.
Okay. But if you would like to roll, you can go right for it.
All right, let me just see what my preparedness is again. Okay, all right, so I'm going to roll a plus sharp just for my, with the planned.
Okay, sure.
So I have my hold ready.
I also rolled for my boss from beyond, and I got an 8. So 7 to 9. My superiors ask me to do something complicated or difficult, and then I can ask them something from investigative mystery right away at the beginning of each mystery.
So you need something... difficult or complicated?
Yeah, if you want to think about it, that's fine.
Yeah.
Megan's is easier to resolve.
Yeah, you sent off the email to the bosses from beyond.
And then mine was for the woman with the plan. So at the beginning of the mystery, I roll plus sharp, and then I got a 12. So I hold 2 to spend to be where I need to be prepared and ready, I guess twice. And then I will roll plus sharp again for my investigative mystery. Jesus Christ, Morwena.
Save some of those rolls for when we're in danger.
All right, so that was another 12.
Okay, so you get to ask me a bunch of questions.
I also get to ask any question I want.
I will do my best to answer.
Well, I'm just sort of trying to figure out who this dude is. So I don't think any of these questions really fall under. They're all like, what happened and shit? And he's not. So I guess just like a general vibe of like who this dude is, how he's related to the organization, et cetera, et cetera. You know, like, what would I find on his Wikipedia page?
Yeah, you would find that he wasn't from Balsamport originally, but he came here when he was fairly young, lived here most of his life, known for his love of the city and his music that reflects that, and a simpler time. His specific connection to the Maritime Academy was he was on a ferry that sank in the early 80s, one of the harbor ferries. And he was the only person to survive that. And the ones that saved him were the, I don't think it falls under the Coast Guard in a harbor, but the equivalent, right, who were people who had trained at the Maritime Academy. So as sort of a way to show his appreciation, he does that benefit show every year to benefit the Maritime Academy, whose students saved his life by fishing him out of the harbor in the middle of October.
Okay, so... would he have any ties somehow to the booby lighthouse that we found?
Weirdly enough, there's nothing on Wikipedia about that.
Well, I meant like to the artist that made it, or like, does he collaborate?
No, I mean, he's one of those buy local types, you know, which is kind of reflected in the fundraiser. Local restaurants, local artists, local performers. So, I mean, he's been seen with just about everyone at some point, right? Because he's really big on promoting these people, being friends with them, giving them exposure, you know, that sort of thing.
Okay. Would I have met him before? No, I didn't. He said he'd never met me before. Okay, cool. Good. Yeah.
You know him. Like, everybody in town would know who he is.
I'm going to send a message off to Emily, Essie, and Rasmus to say, like, hey, you want to go to a... Well, I guess Morwena wouldn't say those words. But effectively, in Morwena version, would you enjoy joining me in this awful thing?
I get the feeling Morwena would have, like, a really formal, like, way to say it. Be like, I would be delighted and overjoyed if you would join me in accompaniment to this gathering. And then, like, a weird emoji at the end that no one's ever seen before.
Like,
hot dog emoji at the end because she thought it was something else.
Like food, right?
Yeah, you consume things.
You have to make these messages accessible to the young ones with their emojis.
And their chat snapping. And I guess, yeah, I just leave it at that. I'll send a message off and get back to work and wait for my formal invite to do more research on this fella, I guess.
Rasmus, where would you be at right about now?
I feel like I've been spending a lot of my time probably down at the Nook. Not because I can afford to have coffee every day, but because they just look the other way when I hang out there all the time. And it seems like a very convenient place for me to just kind of scope things out when I'm not wandering around town. So I'd say probably like a block away from the Nook on my way there.
Yeah, what we're going to do, we're going to try and do some of this other stuff here. So we're going to do a little something that you guys wouldn't see. But this is the, I believe, off-screen badness is what they call it.
Bum, bum, bum.
So we see a young gentleman steps out of his house. He is hit in the face with the stench, just like all of you have been for the past 2 or 3 days. And he grimaces at it and takes a couple of steps down towards his front yard. And he slows down a little bit as he's coming down. He gets his one foot on the grass and just feels like his hands on his stomach, and he crumples down onto the grass and then actually just vomits right on the floor. We come back to Rasmus walking to the cafe.
Cool. Did you want to ask my question now, or did you want me to wait on it?
Yeah.
Because my question would probably be about the stench. I was going to probably ask, what can it do?
It can poison the city. And you need a complex or difficult? Is it complex or difficult task?
Yeah, difficult or complicated.
I think narratively in this case, because that's the question you asked, fix it is your difficult task. Because this is not the end of the world that you are here for.
Everybody wants the world to end, but nobody wants it right now.
I'll do it tomorrow. Okay, so you have been given a task. I don't know if there's anybody who wants to step up here.
So the only thing that I would have is I would get that message from Morwena. I'm probably at home, most likely. And I think my first reaction would just be to, because I assume Morwena sent it as like a group text. So I would message Essie. Because like I would know who, like Daniel Richards, I'm familiar with Daniel Richards. My dad's a big fan of his music. But I would look at that and think, like, this seems pretty cool. Yeah, we should do this. And I would just reply back, like, yes, let's do this. I've also been avoiding going outside as much as possible because of the stench.
Yeah, imagine a lot of people have been.
You said it's been about 2 days, right?
Yeah, and it's gotten worse since, I guess this would be, I don't know, like day 2 or 3, and it's gotten progressively stronger each day.
So one of the things that Emily had been doing prior to this last month-ish or so was that she was going to the graveyard to practice her magic a little bit, and right now she's actually kind of like debating going back and trying to do that, but like really just fighting that whole like she doesn't want to go out in the stench and she doesn't want to do that there, but she feels like she's been like making progress on that, so she's gonna text Essie and be like, what are you up to? Want to go to the graveyard?
Emily will immediately get back please God, yes, I'm getting cabin fever. And then she just texts back, I'll bring face masks.
So what are you doing at the graveyard? How are you practicing?
So I've been going to the graveyard to practice by basically trying to call specific spirits and, like, big goal, call specific spirits, get them to do things that I tell them to do. Like, tell them. Because I've been doing a lot of asking spirits to help, but I'm really, like, trying to get them to just do things by command, I guess. And the graveyard is a good spot because there are definitely a lot of them there. And usually their names are written on tombstones and stuff, so like I
suppose yeah. That's handy.
Yeah, it's a little bit handy that I can like directly.
It's like a necrotic phone book.
Yeah. And I would say overall she's been getting a little bit better with it. It's causing less panic internally for her than it did. She's doing this because at Sailor Prom she was completely overwhelmed, and she kind of has decided that she needs to get a handle on things.
Well, you'll be shocked to learn there are not a whole lot of people out. The city's not empty, like people are still driving in their cars, but there aren't pedestrians out right now. Like, no one
was on the bus.
Yeah, like there were people on the bus and they were not happy about it. No one wants to be out in this. So the cemetery is empty. Maybe you take that as encouraging. No one has died of the smell. So what kind of magic are you doing?
So mostly it's been like I bring like a little bag of things, just like trinkets. And it's just trying to get them like just saying like, pick that up. And they might pick up like a pen or something or whatever I brought. And then it's like, put it over there. Like I'm really just trying to get them to do exactly what I want. Or sometimes I'm trying to get them to answer questions for me. So like I'll ask them about a specific event and try to get them to tell me about it. And that's about where my comfort level has gotten with the magic. So never trying to do any big asks because, you know, she's still getting into it.
I imagine Essie is sitting there and just like, no, Emily, use your commanding library voice. No, imagine it's like those 4 or 5-year-olds that were there like 2 weeks ago. Yeah, that voice, that one. And trying to be encouraging.
So why don't you give me a use magic roll to try and command a spirit?
I will. I brought a teacup. I wanted to pick it up.
Oh, as long as you didn't bring anything fragile or breakable.
It's not a valuable teacup. So that's weird. Go. 12!
It goes off without an issue then, huh?
Perfect.
And on a 12 plus, the keeper will offer some added benefit. Oh, that's weird. Have we ever gotten a 12 on magic before?
No, I don't roll that good.
I don't think so.
I feel like you've garnered a lot of immediate unwanted attention.
Yes.
Yeah, that one we've gotten a bunch.
So the added benefit that I'll give you here is I will give you +1 forward the next time you're looking to do this particular thing. So to command a spirit to pick up something about the size of a teacup. You've made a friend or at least a servant. So I will give you +1 forward on the next roll.
Perfect. I'm writing that down.
Essie gives her rousing applause.
So how does the spirit actually... Like, what does the spirit do with the teacup, since you're the one commanding it?
I'm mostly, like, so the spirit would go up to it and just pick it up like...
Are they visible?
They're visible to me. I don't know if they're visible to anybody else.
Essie, do you see this?
I see a floating teacup.
Okay, cool.
That makes sense, I think, because it's not especially powerful magic or anything like that there, so it's just...
And I'm pretty normal.
Yeah, these are all important details.
So I just have it pick up the teacup and, like... move around the graveyard occasionally, and it's comforting to me. Like, it's like great because it's like it's doing exactly what I say and it's not resisting and I'm not feeling threatened by it at all. The spirit itself probably looks to me still very creepy because it's like a dead person, which is not very sightly, I imagine.
Well, I guess you're the one that's actually seeing them. Like, how detailed are the spirits you're summoning? Is it just like the vague outline of a person?
Yeah, I think I like that there, where it's like, I can tell there's a person there, and sometimes when it happens, like, the more powerful magic, they are physically there to the point where I think there's, like, real living people right there. But, like, right now in the graveyard, they are just barely present spirits.
Okay.
Especially since it's, again, it's not strong magic or anything like that that's commanding them. And I'm, like, making the spirit kind of run, like, a cheesy little obstacle course of putting the teacup down... picking it up, moving it to another spot, and I'm trying to just see how long I can kind of keep that going. I even have it bring the teacup to Essie and hand it to Essie.
And she just, like, puts her hands out flat as this floating teacup gets put down. This is really weird. She, like, looks around to try and see the spirit and is like, is it behind me?
It's right in front of you, Essie.
It's holding the teacup.
Oh, right.
It's doing the whole thing from Ghost.
Yeah, I was about to say, it's not like passing it to you from behind.
And the longer I do this, like, it's taking a bit of a stress on me. So, like, I take a deep breath and then all of a sudden I regret doing that immediately. Because, like, even with the face mask on, it's probably only barely helping.
Oh, yeah, it's literally just one of those, like, flimsy little paper ones that, like, hooks behind the ears.
It's making you feel better. Insofar as there is something separating your breathing from whatever's causing the smell, but it's really not helping the smell. Just about this time, an ambulance goes screaming by the cemetery, off to, one would assume, the hospital.
That's not good.
Essie, like, follows it with her eyes to see if it's, like, stopping nearby or just, like, continuing on.
No, it's heading in the direction, I mean, the general direction of the hospital.
Okay.
One would assume they've got someone on board.
So it's leaving from where it was summoned, not going towards it.
Yeah. For all the difference it makes. Lights are on, it's going fast. They've got important work to do one way or the other.
Fortunately, there's not too many people on the road, so...
Those boys always working hard, I think.
How long have we been here? Probably a couple hours?
I would think so. Is that normally what you would spend there?
Yeah. Initially, when I started, I wasn't spending that much time there, but... By this point, that's sort of about my limit.
Okay.
Essie, wanna stop by the Nook, grab a coffee, and then, I don't know, maybe go watch a movie?
Yeah, I mean, I brought snacks, but I don't really want to take the face mask off to eat them.
No, not here. Not here.
I could do a coffee. Yes. Yes, that is the thing that needs to happen now.
Let's do it.
Heading on over to the Nook, which I believe is where Rasmus is presently.
Yeah. Trying to barter my way into a coffee with a good story about a goat that made his way all the way on top of the highest building in Oslo. Unfortunately, the highest building in Oslo at the time was relatively short, so it's not super impressive, but with the right embellishments, everything is a good story.
God, I really want you to roll for that. I want to know how the story goes.
All right, well, let's figure it out. What the fuck can I roll for here?
I feel like that's a manipulate someone. Or is that an act under pressure? Your choice.
I mean, I think it sounds more manipulating to me.
Yeah, I don't think you're under... I don't think coffee or death, so it's probably not super high stress.
Go minus one charm. 7.
I mean, not the worst.
They'll do it, but only if you do something for them right now. To show them that you mean it.
I'm going
to
act out the goat climbing on top of this dope-ass building.
That is exactly what I wanted. They are extremely... Well, they're very entertained by this, but also... Okay, actually, is this the barista that you normally... Like, are you friends with this person?
So I'm here a lot, right? And if they have any kind of rotating staff, because sometimes these small cafes only have one or two people working at them anyway. But let's say they have more than that. I've seen them all. I know them all. We've had many talks. This is probably not the first goat-related Oslo story they've heard, even though this is a new one, because I made it up. But this is not abnormal behavior. I gotta drink coffee, and I don't got money.
And they know that when you get to the point that you're actually acting out the goat, like, you're clearly not going to give up at this point.
Oh, yeah. Like, I'm bought in. I could have just given up, but I wanted, like, a latte.
Yeah, if you're committed enough to actually be acting in goat. So yeah, with a bit of a resigned shrug, they whip you up a coffee. What are you taking your coffee? Anything?
I feel like Rasmus would take it like aggressively sweet, but with no cream.
So like 3 sugar, no dairy?
Oh, I guess I ordered a latte. That doesn't make any sense.
Oh, latte.
You know what? Yes.
Nobody told him that though.
Well, but like a really sweet latte. Like, I feel like for whatever reason, he just likes everything aggressively sweet.
Right. So like caramel on top and a couple spoonfuls of sugar. Real toothachey.
Yeah. Like made with honey and maple syrup mixed together for some reason, even though that's goddamn disgusting.
All right. And you're being served by Aisling this morning. They hand it across to you and like just look you dead in the eye with still have both hands on the mug and say, "Okay, Rasmus, no more goat stories today. Okay.
I have a good one about a polar bear."
Nope. Only one today.
And I start walking across the room being like, "Yeah, it is Bjorn."
Next. Just about this time, Emily and Essie come in.
Question. Would we know that if Rasmus is in the coffee shop with a mug, he confused them with a story and then got a free coffee?
It depends. How much coffee do you typically drink with Rasmus? I mean, he does spend a lot of time with you, doesn't he?
I feel like Essie has this pattern where, like, if she sees Rasmus in the coffee shop, she leaves a tip that is equal to whatever coffee Rasmus has had.
Okay. So you're on pretty good terms. So probably by the time you get to the counter, your drink is already sitting there.
Mm-hmm.
All right. What's Essie drink?
I think she drinks the aggressively sweet latte that Rasmus is addicted to.
That's how I got turned on to it.
I think that's why Rasmus always has aggressively sweet coffee, because he just thinks that's what coffee tastes like, because that's always what Essie gets.
Right, that's how you have coffee.
Essie always gets aggressively sweet coffee, so that's just like, okay, I'll get two coffees.
Yeah, I asked Essie what coffee was, and then, you know, this is what our life is now.
Yeah, it's like an Essie coffee, where it's just like aggressively sweet. I think she might actually put a little bit of cream in it or something. Maybe she took the cream out of Rasmus's so she could be like, it's dark and spooky just like you. Like, as a joke, but now it's a thing.
So maybe he did order a latte with no cream. He just doesn't know what the fuck a latte is.
He just doesn't know what's going on.
It's just a black coffee with sugar.
I wouldn't be surprised if Essie went to them and is like, he really doesn't know, just get him cheap coffee with lots of sugar, because she's learned that he's kind of a pain in the ass to these guys, and she knows he's always hanging around here, where it's just like, he won't, it'll be fine, just tell him it's the same thing, and that way they're not like, it's not a super expensive drink, so that way she gives them like an extra like $2 or $3 for
gotcha
a coffee for Rasmus.
And Aisling looks up to you, Emily, what you having today?
Black coffee, please. Your biggest one.
Easy enough. Walks over and just puts the carafe on the counter and stares you dead in the eye.
I stare back. A little bit like, you know, that sort of kind of dead face where you're just like, yep, waiting for coffee.
Essie, wanting to break the tension, just like takes out an appropriate amount of money and slides it across the counter.
You finish the whole thing in under 20 minutes. It's free.
She starts pulling the money back. Looks at Emily.
Does Aislinn hand me my coffee?
Picks the carafe up, pours a glass out for you, puts on the counter.
Essie sighs and pays the appropriate amount of money for a single cup of coffee for Emily, as well as her own stuff and Rasmus's.
As she's putting it back, you just barely hear, goat story was more fun. would you be going?
So I walk over to Rasmus.
Yeah, sitting down?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we're going to sit down. How's your latte, Rasmus?
Ah, it's great.
He drinks a latte that obviously has whipped cream, but his does not.
Yeah, it's good. It's dark and stormy, like normal.
Yeah, that's a dark and stormy.
What's with the masks?
She just laughs. Stinky air?
Have you been outside these last couple of days, Rasmus?
Yeah, I went for a run this morning. I didn't notice anything particularly weird. Like, it smells, but it's not the worst thing I've ever smelled in the world.
Boy, that's a story.
I feel so sorry for Rasmus right now. Because it is awful. So if he smelled something worse than that,
Let me tell you about this polar bear I met one time.
And then I bring up, like, so Rasmus, you gonna go to that thing Marwana mentioned?
Yeah, I got nothing else to do.
Do you know who Daniel Richards is?
No idea.
I immediately take out my phone and earbuds and hand it to him, and I go, give it a listen. I think you might like him.
You said he was a vaguely folky artist, correct?
Yeah. So, I mean, if you were just grabbing, like, the first song that everyone would know.
Yeah, that's the one I'm going with.
Yeah, it would probably be the one that everyone who spent any time in a pub in Balsamport would know most of the words to, and that's Smuggler's Cove.
It's sung at open mic way too often.
Basically, yeah.
I start, like, ignoring the music and just kind of listening to the lyrics of it and just trying to figure out the story. Bad habit.
It's about two brothers hiding in a cove as they watch the ships of the officials, the police, basically, drift back and forth looking for them. That's basically what the song's about.
I kind of like listen to it and then take the headphones out and just, yeah, not a bad story. Could use a goat, but it's pretty good.
You can't fix everything with a goat, Rasmus.
That's not true. You can fix anything with a good goat.
I guess the stipulation there is good goat. I will concede that one.
Are you guys going?
Yeah, I think I will. My dad's gonna be super jealous.
It's just about this time you hear another ambulance go by.
That's 12.
That's the second one. You've seen 12 of them?
Yeah.
Ooh, what's going on?
Essie's gonna give Emily a, like, is this normal weird or weird weird look. I don't know how she communicates that with just her eyes, but she does, and it looks kind of strange.
As soon as I grab my phone again, I just start quickly Googling, seeing if there's any news on, like, local news channels.
Yeah, currently there seems to be some sort of, they're calling it a gastrointestinal outbreak in a couple of neighborhoods in the city. There's already been a number of cases reported. Nausea, vomiting, diarrhea, just awful, bad, bad stuff. And it so far seems to be centralized, well, not centralized, It seems to be spreading out from the harbor, from around the docks, which is where they suspect it may have something to do with the smell. Although, city workers have been on the docks for 2 days and haven't found anything yet. But the docks have been closed down until further notice. Any ships that were out in the bay are basically being held out there right now. They're not letting anyone come in, and people are advised to stay away from that part of town. And don't drink the water in those houses. The whole city's under a boil order right now.
With that, and seeing Essie giving me the "is something going on" eyeballs, I'm going to look at her and go, well, everything says, like, it's probably something to do with the smell coming from the docks. I don't know if anything's, like, if anything, and I kind of, like, tilt my head, is going on that way. But if I was going to find out, I would go to the docks. We're not supposed to go there, though.
I mean, my favorite places to go are the places I'm not supposed to go. So, I mean, I think it sounds like a great afternoon, but...
Essie, you are the most wonderful influence.
Oh, I know. I've been doing wonders for Rasmus.
As he sips his dark latte.
Yes.
Rasmus, want to come to the docks?
Yeah, I met a guy from there the other night, so I wouldn't mind going to collect the money he owes me.
Okay.
I have so many questions, and they always just lead to more questions, so I'm not going to ask now, but I need you to know that I have so many questions.
Well, he lost a game of Hoffentofel.
See? More questions.
I'll explain on the way.
He's going to, like, turn to Emily. He's like, do you think Rowena would want to leave the library long enough to check it out with us? Or is this a investigate, report back later, beg forgiveness, not ask permission?
The graveyard is definitely beg forgiveness. We should probably go see. Maybe she knows something about the docks. Like, I haven't looked into that. It's on the way, so.
Might as well.
Yeah.
Maybe she'll have better face masks. You know, for, like, not breathing on books or whatever.
So you're heading back to the archive first?
Yes.
Yeah, we'll stop there. See what's up with Morwenna.
Okay, so I got a really, really important question about the Hnefatafl game. So did your buddy at the docks just, like, have a board? Or does Rasmus have one of these on him at all times?
No, you can just make one with, like, a stick and sand and a couple of rocks, right? Because it's just two colors. Most of the pawns are all identical, so it's like, really easy to whip up on a fly.
All right. Yeah, you make it back to the archive without issue.
As soon as they walk into the archive, Essie's going to take off her face mask and just go, man, it smells like Updog out there.
what is Updog?
Nothing much. What's up with you? And she does the finger guns.
All right, Maureen, I'm going to need you to roll kick some ass.
Rasmus is waiting patiently to hear what the hell an Updog is.
As is Maureen.
As he does the finger gun.
Just blank stare.
And sees that they're both giving her blank stares. And she goes, it's a joke, right? Because, like I said, smells like Updog. And you both said, what's up, dog? And I said, nothing much. Because you asked me, what's up? Like, what's going on? But
that doesn't tell us what an Updog is.
It's not. Rasmus, do you remember jokes? Never mind, we were going to go to the docks.
I do know what the docks are.
She just, like, gives up and, like, walks away a little bit, but not really.
So I go up to Morwenna and go, like, we noticed, like, there's, like, a bunch of ambulances and stuff, and just, like, a quick look at the news suggests that, like, something's going down at the docks, and Essie kind of gave me the idea of maybe it's, you know, something that falls sort of into our turf, I guess? So, like...
Yeah.
Do you know if any weird shit's going on at the docks?
Daniel did mention that he had people looking into the docks to try to find the source of the smell. I didn't think much of it. I just assumed there was a dead whale or something.
It's been 2 days, and, like, city workers haven't found anything. And, like, I don't know if you would smell a dead whale all, like, as far away as it's going.
And that's the thing, if it was big enough to make that much stink, it'd be easy enough to find.
Well, it's not like anyone's coming to the library since they don't want to leave their house, so we could go to the docks to investigate. I'll just lock the door, and I think I have some
N95 masks upstairs. I'll see if there's any around for all of us.
I knew she'd have the masks.
I'm gonna go get us some N95s.
Rasmus holds up like a cross between like a high five and a fist bump. Like it's like if you took your hand for a high five and then just curled the last two knuckles over, almost like you were gonna throat punch someone with your knuckle tips. Like that's what he's really confused about the difference between the two.
So it's like he's throwing a screwball?
Kind of. Like
wonderful.
You know what I mean? Like he's kind of doing something like this as like a hey, like, you know, congratulations, but it's a total bastardization between the two things he got taught.
As he just goes over and like gently closes all of his fingers into a fist and then fist bumps him while making eye contact the entire time.
Disappointed eye contact.
Yeah, she thought they'd been making so much progress.
Rasmus learned nothing.
She just, like, pats his shoulder.
He learned half of two things.
You and your silver linings, Em.
So, Morana comes back. She's got a handful of N95 masks. I mean, they're technically for keeping bacteria, etc. They're, like, surgical ones, but they should do a little bit of something. And they should stop droplets, which is mainly what she uses them for. So when she's working on delicate things, she doesn't get moisture from her mouth onto the books.
Makes sense. Does anybody own a car?
Nope.
No.
I have a skateboard.
I have a bus pass.
Okay. Well, have fun walking then.
I live in the building I work in and do not enjoy leaving these places.
I'm just really enjoying the image of all of us sitting on the bus side by side with our face masks on in varying states of enjoyment or displeasure. It makes my heart happy to think about that.
So it's getting a little later in the day at this point, as you're all heading out towards the docks.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yes.
So I'd say it's, well, I don't know, probably 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Yes, you spent a couple hours in the cemetery. So you're coming up to, well, I guess, how would you want to approach the docks? I'm not going to tell you how you go. It's a large unloading facility, you know, like container ships and such.
You said they had it closed off. Is there like police barriers or?
No. It's, I mean, you don't need to work hard to tell people to not go where it stinks. They're just like, hey, don't go there. Mainly for like the ships coming in. We're not allowing ships in right now. Please don't go there. Anyone in the surrounding neighborhoods maybe should go somewhere else. It's not like they're enforcing it, like they're not forcing people out of their homes right now. They're just like, yeah, boil your water and we don't know what's causing it.
More of like one of those, if you could stay away, stay away.
Yeah, basically.
And I imagine there's no bus stop immediately by the docks, so we'll probably have to get off a couple blocks away or...
Yeah, you end up walking a good distance and it gets worse as you get closer to the docks.
Fun.
As I get closer, I kind of try to bring on the sight, see if I can see any traces of magic or anything spiritual at all. And that just falls into my investigate a mystery. And the closer we get and the worse the smell gets, the more I'll try and do it.
Sure.
That one there is sharp. Okay. 12!
Nice.
Okay. So, yeah, you can ask... I'm not sure if that's a trade-off, like you get to ask any two of the list of questions or you trade that for one any question.
Your call.
But anyway, what are you looking for?
I'm mostly looking for, so of the questions that are there, it would either be what happened here or what's being concealed here. Mostly that's kind of what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to see if there's like magic or some kind of telltale that might, you know, like some clues or something that might lead me to a source or... if there's any sort of, like, pervasive magic, I guess, aura.
There is, as you start to put out your magical feelers, you can basically see the smell start to sort of materialize out of the gray, overcast sky around you.
So maybe not dissimilar to how I see the spirits?
Yeah, that kind of idea. It's more, it's not like you're seeing, it's not like smoke. You know, it's, I guess, somewhere between, like, an aura and smoke, you know, like a foggy...
Kind of like the glow of a light?
Yeah, almost glowing. It's magically glowing, right? The thing that is getting out into the city, and you can see if you turn around and look the other way, it gets lighter as you look out away, and then it is definitely more concentrated. Surprise, it smells worse here. And it's more concentrated here around the docks.
So when I notice that, The first thing that I do is I quickly ask Essie to check, like, you know, like to look behind us, like, is that the same kind of like brightness as like ahead of us, like as we're heading towards the bad smell? Like, do you see anything different?
What do my normal eyes see?
You don't see anything different. Like, you can see the sun kind of coming through the clouds in one direction, and I guess that affects the lighting. But as far as the general lighting vibe of the area, no, it looks...
nothing abnormal.
Yeah, it's gray and dreary.
It's looking pretty normal. I mean, like, you know, what you'd expect from the sun being where it is and doing its sun thing.
Okay, then Essie, I think you might have been onto something at the Nook, because I'm definitely getting some magic vibes in this direction, and I kind of point to about where it's the brightest.
I knew it was our kind of weird. Everything was being too normal.
So when I see Emily pointing out that she's seen some weird vibes, I'm gonna... I guess I'm going to try and also see if I can sort of figure out if there's any magical shit going on, or if it's just the horrifying stank all by its lonesome, which I assume would be...
Oh, I suppose. We didn't totally resolve that either, because, Emily, you get to hold 2 on your 12. You do get to ask another question.
Okay, yeah. Where did it go?
You're having a little difficulty pinning it down just from where you're standing, because, of course, you're at ground level, right? But you can see farther out in the docks towards the big cranes. It definitely seems to get heavier out there. It seems to be more concentrated.
I relay that to everybody. Just those... I think it's coming from, I don't know, somewhere near those cranes over there. We should maybe see if we can get over there and check them out.
I'll go look. And I go.
All right. So I want to make an addendum, I guess, to my original thing, because if Emily is seeing something related to it, then it's probably something magical. So I guess I'm going to try and figure out, from my knowledge, what kind of magic makes a big bad stank? Or, like, is there a god that makes a big bad stank? Or is there a demon that would make a big bad stank?
I don't know how to answer that, because that's lore that we haven't decided on, basically. I don't have a hard and fast lore for, like, what demons are, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, I guess the easiest answer is yes, all kinds of things could be causing this.
Yeah, basically. Like, I don't have anything specific to give you right now.
Okay.
So it was an area you said over with, like, some of the cranes and things that Emily noticed was a little bit concentrated. I would like to go and check that out a little bit, since I imagine Essie is, like, decently spry. She skateboards, she climbs on things. She probably dabbled in parkour and then hurt herself and decided to stay on her skateboard.
So you're just kind of charging down onto the docks?
Yeah, she would. Now here's the thing, too. If you want, you can use my oops. If you want me to find something before I get all the way to, like, the cranes or off of the docks or anything. But I don't think Essie's super taking the time to look anywhere until she gets to kind of the point that Emily said was where it was more concentrated.
So the farther you go into the docks, the stench is actually starting to make you feel sick. As you're riding, you can feel yourself weaving on the skateboard more. So I would like you to give me an act under pressure to kind of keep your wits about you.
Cool. And that is plus cool?
I believe so, yes.
That is an 8.
Okay. You can feel the nausea kind of coming up in you a little bit as you're getting closer. You waver for a moment, and you happen to look up. You see a city worker getting into his truck, and you are speeding towards him right now.
Okay. Wicked.
So here's your option. You can bail. He won't see you, but your skateboard's going.
No!
Or if you stick with the board, you're gonna crash into that truck, or at least come rolling up right into it.
So I stop and ditch the board, or I keep going.
Yeah, if you bail now, you can bail out of the way. He won't see you, or you keep going and you'll hit that truck.
Okay, good to know.
Not like hit the truck, like get run over, but your presence will be known.
She's gonna hit the truck.
Okay.
She can't lose her board. It's her board.
So coming up on the truck too fast, he turns just in time to see you, and before he can even ask, what the, you basically crash into him. Like, he kind of catches you, and you both sort of fall into the truck. No one's hurt. He's very surprised. You can see he's just wearing a, you know, Balsam Port Water Department shirt. I guess a jacket and a hard hat. And when he kind of gets you both untangled, like, are you okay?
Oh, I... Wait, when did I get to the docks? Man, the whatever's going on, this stink in town is really... Oh, sorry, I...
Come on, kid, you can't be around here. It's not a safe place to be right now.
Can Rasmus walk up at this moment?
Yeah, you guys are a little behind, but you can see that she's there.
Hey, Doug.
Hey, Rasmus.
Are the other two of you visible? Like, are you all walking up towards the truck now?
Probably.
I think we were all walking together, so.
I'm giving you a moment here before Rasmus shouts out, if you want to duck behind something, I'll give you the opportunity.
I think I will try to duck behind something.
Yeah, Marwena might as well. She'll try and find, like, a tall pole to stand behind because, you know, she's Skeletor.
Hey, buddy. Come on, you can't be back here.
You owe me 10 ducks, Doug. Don't try and get me out of this one.
Come on, Rasmus. Now?
Yeah. No.
I'm working!
Yeah, I don't care.
Essie's gonna pick up her board and take, like, a half a step back.
You seriously came down in this for 15 bucks?
No, we were coming anyway.
Takes another step back.
It's just very convenient to get it now, Doug. Also, if the world ends tomorrow, I don't want to have any outstanding debts, that's all.
I mean, can't take it with you.
Skateboard's away.
What? Is she with you?
Yeah. I mean, in so much as we came together.
Okay, fine. If I give you the cash, will you go? Will you take her with you? She looks sick.
We will leave this area, yes.
He's already in the truck, digging around for his wallet. It's 15, right?
Yeah, 25, yeah.
Rasmus.
I'll just take the 15 bucks and be like, okay, bye, dog.
He hands you the 15.
We'll just kind of, like, tuck around a corner quickly and wait for him to drive off.
Then I would like all y'all to roll Act Under Pressure to hide from him as he drives by.
Gladly.
Well, I don't necessarily need to hide from him. He knows I'm there, just waiting.
Okay.
Essie is definitely trying to hide. That would be a 10.
I got a 4.
I have to roll 2, don't I?
Yeah, plus cool.
There we go. A 7. Better off than Emily.
He pulls up next to you, rolls down his window, and says, look, y'all gotta get home. There's something making people sick down here. I gotta do one more pass, all right? I don't want to see any of you here when I come back to lock up.
You won't, Doug. I promise.
Fuck, I just want to fucking get out of here. He rolls up the window. You can actually hear him turn up the fan inside the truck as he drives off down to the other end of the dock.
That won't work. It just blows air in from outside. Okay. So we need to find a better place to hide before he comes back.
Or just be done with it by the time he gets back.
This is also an option.
How big is the docks? Would it be a significant time for him to do the check, do we think?
He'll be gone for a little while. You can't see him right now. He's driven off back behind some containers. I mean, the dock goes on for a while. He's gone off to check something else.
Well, if we keep an eye out for him and have a good spot to hide in mind, we could probably at least start looking around.
I mean, you guys are much better at finding the, like, spooky stuff. So I can keep watch, because I'm really good at keeping watch and then yelling and running.
That works for me. I guess I'm going to head closer to the water then to try and see if we can start pinpointing this shit.
And Essie's going to find a nice vantage point to, like, watch for the truck to see when it's coming back so that she can let everyone else know.
Okay, so Marwena, why don't you roll me an investigate a mystery?
All right. I can't hide for shit, but I can look at shit.
That would be a
12.
Yeah.
Well, go ahead. Ask your questions.
I guess. I'll stick with the whole two because now it actually has to do with trying to find, you know, Stank's horse instead of just, who the fuck is this dude? I'm going to go with, what sort of creature is it, I guess? I guess I would go along with, do I think it's something that would be living in the water that we'd have to draw out? Or do I think it might be something like hiding under the ducks?
I have to work with the information that you might have available to you right here. You're definitely looking at something of significant power. if it's managing to affect the entire city, right? Like, even if it's only having a localized effect currently, even spreading out over a couple of neighborhoods, it's a fairly large area. The fact that this smell is basically covering the entire city, you're dealing with something of considerable puissance.
All right, and I guess we already, well, I guess Morwena doesn't know, but in general, we know that it can make people sick. What is being concealed here? I guess to see if maybe it's not just there's a thing around and that maybe it's those same guys who did the lighthouse thing and it's actually being hidden from people, maybe.
Okay. You haven't seen any sigils or anything similar to that, and you haven't spotted any other people on the docks. So you don't currently have any reason to think that they would be involved.
Okay, then I guess I'm going to just keep heading down towards the water.
Emily's going to keep heading towards the crane. Again, continuously, like, trying to feel out if she sees anything.
I think that's a use magic roll, because you're trying to basically see the unseen.
Okay, yeah, I can do that. 14.
Jesus Christ, am I going to get to do anything to you guys? Like,
nope.
We are rolling ridiculously well.
It's like the opposite of the friggin' sugar factory.
It's specifically why I haven't rolled anything, because I know I'm going to break this fucking streak.
Yeah, because, like, before I didn't know how much I could fuck with you. Alright, you are looking for the unseen. So as you're coming down the docks, you can actually see down quite a ways on one of the pier... No, not, like, yeah, just down a ways. You can see almost, it looks like, effluent or sewage kind of bubbling up out of the ground. It's semi-translucent, you know, kind of ghosty, since you're using your magic powers to look for it. And you can see the stench kind of rising from there. And it's bubbling out, but, like, I mean, it's a dock. The sewers don't really run here, so you're not sure where it's coming from. But yeah, that's your point, right there.
I kind of, like, try to wave everybody over, like, what is this bubbling stuff? It's gross.
No one else can see that, by the way.
So, to them, I'm just looking at, like, the ground?
Yeah, basically. You're looking off down that way somewhere, because you're using your magic sense.
How could the city not find that? It's, like, I know I'm using my magic sense, but I think I see it so vividly that...
Rasmus is kind of, like, keeping a wide berth, because, you know, we established at the onset that he thinks Emily's a bit of an abomination.
Well, you know, because she is. as Morwena, I'm going to see, like, come over to Emily and be like, all right, so what? That was way too not formal.
Get in that Morwena voice.
Emily, what do you see?
You don't see the bubbling. It's gross. It just looks like ooze, right? Like, it's just...
Yeah. Yeah, you're not getting a lot of definition from back where you are right now.
Like, it's definitely bubbling.
But it doesn't seem to be spreading. Like, it's bubbling out, but not getting any bigger.
So kind of like if I were to, like, think of, like, a cat fountain.
Yeah, kind of that thing. Although, obviously, it's not draining anywhere. So it's just kind of, like, appearing and disappearing.
Yeah, it looks like some kind of, like, bubbling goop.
Mm.
It looks really gross. It doesn't seem like it's like bubbling, but it's not overflowing or anything.
Is it coming from the water or is it on the pier itself?
No, it's right there on the ground over by the pier. Yeah.
Essie, you actually start to see something coming up now.
Is it the truck or is it where Emily's pointing?
No, it's the bubbling gross. It comes out dark brown and green and red ooze start coming out of the ground, just out of the ground, like out of the asphalt on the dock.
Emily, normalize.
What's up?
Freaky stuff. Morwena, please tell me you see the weird shit. Please tell me you see the weird stuff.
Oh yeah, you guys see it. It is spreading. And it's about this time that you all hear this basically high-pitched scream. It's like a high-pitched scream and a low rumble just kind of go right through you.
I cover my ears and hide my head.
It doesn't seem to help.
I'm going to try and see if I can understand what it's saying. So I'm going to use magic.
All right.
Because one of the effects is under communicate with someone something that you do not share a language with. All right. So, plus weird. Let's see what we get.
5.
Nice.
I'll mark experience. Okay.
So I think that just completely doesn't work. As you start to try and listen, like the scream, as it, because it this doesn't continue, like it kind of passes, and you listen in, and it's just then that you feel like your heart has just been ripped in half.
Oh, it's sad.
No. Not metaphorically.
Literally.
I mean, like, you feel like your heart has been ripped in half.
I assume.
And
I
you clutch your
harm?
Chest and drop to your... No, you don't take any harm.
Oh, okay.
Yet.
Oh.
But it is excruciating. And as the last bit of the scream sort of ends its reverberation, it eases up on you a little bit. And you can feel it starting to fade again. But it was intense pain.
I immediately rush over to Morwenna. Are you okay?
The bubbling effluent is spreading further. It's now about 10 feet across.
Do I still see goop?
Oh yeah.
That's what I see? The bubbling?
Yep. And it's growing by the minute.
Oh gosh, we did the thing where we ran in without a plan. And that's legit Essie saying it, not just Megan. Can I stumble across something important? I would like to do that, if I could.
Sure. So the bubbling is getting closer to you, and you notice in the bubbling a lump.
A lump.
Mm-hmm. It's pushed out towards the edge of the gross, disgusting effluent. Oh, the smell's getting worse, by the way.
Oh,
it's bad.
God.
Obviously. I thought I should probably mention that.
Essie's gonna do that thing where she pulls the collar of her shirt up over her nose and mouth. Even though she's already wearing a mask, she's gonna do that to kind of like double it down. Does it look like the lump is a part of it, or it does it look like the lump is something that can be like pulled out of it?
I mean, it's a thing in the grossness that you could grab. It's about fist-sized, I would say, but you can't really tell much about it.
She's just going to go, oh, this is dumb. Pull the shirt up over her mouth and then run and try and grab the lump and yank it out of the guck.
Okay, and you come back with... It also smells awful, just generally.
Yeah.
And you've just got a... It's really hard to tell what it is. It's just a gross, like, slimy rock, almost. It's not particularly heavy or dense.
Am I close enough to the water to be able to, like, dunk it in and rinse it off? Or is the dock, like, really high from the water level?
Yeah, it's high. Let's say it's high tide.
Sure. I would like to go rinse off my rock thing.
Yeah, well, you're trying to clean it off. And as you are, it just feels slimy. It's all fucking greasy.
I'll pull it out. Does it look like there's been layers washed off and it's like a thinner layer now, or does it still look the same?
No, it's dark and mottled in color. It's kind of greasy feeling. It smells bad. Honestly, it smells like shit.
She's gonna like roll it around in her hands a little bit. Is there any like buttons or knobs or seams or dials or cracks or...
Nope, it's just a big smelly lump.
So while you're fiddling around with the stone, I'm going to try and cast out evil just to make sure that it's not here. Even if we move it somewhere else, we can go and find it there. So my ability says I can banish an unnatural creature from my presence. I can't control where it goes, but I'm trying to make it move so that maybe I can get a little respite for whoever's suffering from the smell. It doesn't harm it and all that stuff. It kind of forces it from being here.
And that was a roll, like how quickly it went away was based on how you rolled?
Yeah. So on a 9, it takes a little while for the banishing to take effect. The creature has time to make one or two actions. Either way, it's unharmed and I can't control where it goes.
So how do you cast out evil?
So I feel like Rasmus, when he casts out evil, would start telling like classic stories of people who had done the same. So he might tell like the story of St. Patrick casting the snakes out of Ireland. Now that's obviously metaphor and all that stuff, but I mean, you know, what matters is the story and the power that the words have. So he starts, you know, talking about how, you know, it was full of snakes and St. Patrick brought about, and just starts kind of walking towards it, telling the story. And then he doesn't have his hands up necessarily, but like you can kind of tell that the winds are starting to pick up and starting to blow at the creature and blow him kind of out back into the harbor in an attempt to kind of get him to, like, move where he's at.
All right, so you're pushing him towards the harbor?
Yeah, well, because I figure that's the only chance I have of getting him away from the city.
So as you're pushing on this, I mean, basically puddle of goop right now, you get another one of those screams comes out and kind of passes through all of you. And it's just then that this giant, long, bony snout with a row of big teeth, we're talking like this thing's fucking 12 feet long, I think, comes jetting out of the slime. And you see a big three bony fingers slam up next to it as a big rib cage with pieces of rotting flesh are falling off of it. And you can see one huge eye in the skull stare back at you. And as you're pushing it back away, you can see it almost breach up out of the slime, slamming these two big skeletal hands down on the ground that are just like two big bones with giant 8-foot-long fingers. And then it pulls out of the slime, and the whole slime pile basically follows it along, leaving a disgusting, smelly trail behind it, greasy trail. And you can see it goes over the edge of the harbor, and it kind of comes out of the pile of slime and then down into the harbor. You see the big rib cage and this long bony tail behind it as it all goes down in, and then the slime follows it and starts spreading out into the harbor.
What kind of skull is it?
It has a very long snout, basically, and the back end of the skull kind of sweeps up into a big, well, dome, sort of.
This is type of whale?
Yeah. You would identify it as some kind of whale. That would sort of meet the morphology. Sort of. You definitely recognize some of the whale bits.
And it's heading into the harbor and spreading goo.
Yes. Gotta get away. You don't see it anymore, by the way. There's just a greasy, oily slime on the water where it hit and where the puddle followed it that's spreading out now.
Although Emily can probably still see where it's at, no doubt.
Yeah, I suppose if she's still focusing.
I would be. I'm trying to, like, keep my magic going so I know where things are.
I'm still trying to clean off my slime rock. Probably 3 dunks where I, like, try and scrub it off and then bring it up and check it and then put it back in.
I think it's a slime bone.
You think it's a slime bone?
Well, if it came off of the giant slime skeleton.
And then after she does the washers, she'll turn around, probably after this crazy whale thing happened, just not seeing that. She's preoccupied with her slime rock.
No, I like it. It's perfect.
And then she turns around and is like, I found a... What are you guys looking at?
We're going to need a bigger boat. So I'm guessing since it's in the water and the slime it ate is spreading, that's probably still not a good thing.
Probably not ideal.
It might not be the cause. It may just be a consequence of.
Are you saying that the creature wouldn't be the cause, maybe?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm saying, like, the creature might just be a consequence of whatever's causing this, like, bubbly...
Right, okay.
Bubbly goop stuff.
Oh, so, like, maybe it's... God damn it, talk like Marwena. So maybe it's possessed the skeleton of that whale?
Well, because, like, we definitely have this source of magic, or the source of something, and it's not going away, and the thing definitely left. I'm going to use my tune in so that I can attune to that monster.
Okay.
Roll plus weird on 10 plus, hold 3, on 7 to 9, hold 1. On a miss, the monster becomes aware of you. Spend 1 hold to ask the keeper one of the following. And then I've got a list.
And I'll give you 1 forward on that because of the benefit from you rolling well on the other one when you were using your magic vision to look for it, because you clearly need the help rolling high on this. I can give you this bonus because it costs me nothing. You're going to roll 15 anyway.
12.
Okay.
So the questions that I can ask are, where's the creature right now? What is it planning to do right now? Who is it going to attack next? Who does it regard as the biggest threat, and how can I attract its attention? So the question that I want to know is, what is it planning to do right now?
It is planning on surfacing again.
With that, I'm just going to go, everybody, I think it's going to be coming back.
Do we know where?
So I got 12, so I've got hold 3.
Yeah, you got a bunch of questions you can ask me.
I'll keep one of them for a little bit, but I want to know...
Yeah, I'll clarify. The plan, it will come back again, just as it was spreading before, but with Rasmus banishing it, it won't be coming back for a while.
But the ooze hasn't, like, stopped or anything, right? Like, it's still going and...
Well, I mean, it pulled the ooze into the water with it, so you can see the greasy remains spreading out on the water.
Marwena, would we have any books at the library? Or maybe a friend you can call?
Well, I might have a book on dealing with something similar to this. It might be online as well, though. It's written by a very popular author. So this means I'm going to use preparedness. When I need something unusual or rare, I roll plus sharp. And on a 10 plus, I have it here and now. On a 7 and 9, you have it, but not here. And then it'll take some time to get to. On a miss, you know where it is, but it's somewhere really bad. CX.
So what are you looking for specifically?
I was going to look to see if I could find a book about, I guess, whatever creature, like information on this creature, so we figured out a way to either banish it or stop the oozing.
I have something, if you don't mind.
Sure, I'm open to suggestions.
Well, it has to be somewhere bad, right? So I feel like there should be a rival bookseller for, like, Arcana, our cult stuff, who is less concerned with, like, accumulating knowledge and more just concerned with making a buck. Basically, Belloc to Morwena's indie. And he has it, but he's gonna need some kind of compensation for letting us use it. Whether we keep it or not is debatable.
Yeah, I like that plan.
It also gives us an NPC we can bring up later in the game.
Sounds good.
Would that be your nemesis book dealer, Cooper Schmidt?
Sure.
I do like Cooper Schmidt.
That sounds correct. Cooper Schmidt.
So are you heading there presently?
I guess that's up to the rest. I can get the book, but I have to go away.
Way? Where is it? Isn't it at the library?
It's at Cooper Schmidt's.
As soon as she says Cooper, I know exactly who she's talking about, and I go, that jerk.
I don't know if this will help you with your book looking. Once you have your book, I don't know. I found a lumpy slime rock in the thing.
I'll take that from her to bring with me to Cooper Schmidt's.
Like, are my hands, like, burned, or do I still feel any residue on them, or is there anything weird about my hands?
Your hands still feel weird and greasy.
I just kind of, like, wipe it off on my jeans, but it comes off.
Yeah, it's like fried chicken.
Okay, right on. I wasn't sure if I had, like, you know, burned residue or anything, but just, like, normal residue.
All right, so if you're going to head to Cooper's store, that's going to take you a little while.
But I have preparedness.
So you want to be there?
Yes, I figure out how to call an Uber.
I think Essie just calls the Uber for you.
Yeah, I have a guy.
My preparedness is Essie knows how to call an Uber.
There was something you wanted to do there, Rasmus?
Yeah, well, while they're going, I would like to try and whip up some winds to get the funk off the city. So, like, I'm totally down for them going to figure out what the hell's going on. But, like, we still need to kind of help some of these people out. Now, my expectation is that that's probably big magic.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
So I guess it's up to you to try and figure out what you require me to do.
I would say probably the hardest thing about that is you need to get to a very high point out in the open to be able to whip up enough wind to try and alleviate the stench.
Okay, I'm going to make my way for a sky, like a tall skyscraper then.
Now, I know this is going to be a little unorthodox. I think I want to call it there for the night. Make this...
A two-parter?
A two-parter!
I think so, because I've got to come up with a couple of things here. And also, I'm hungry.
That is a very good reason.
So I got to make a couple of notes here. So presently, we've got Marwena heading to Cooper's.
Emily's probably accompanying her.
Okay. Rasmus is trying to summon wind.
To blow the funk off the city.
Okay.
Essie would go with whatever group deemed her needed, right? Like, if Rasmus is like, oh, well, if they're doing that, I need an extra set of hands for this crazy spell I want to try. Yes, but if Rasmus is like, you don't want to see this, she'd go with Emily and Morwenna.
I don't feel like I would discourage you from coming, but in the same respect, I don't know that he's been on his own for so long. I don't know that he would, like, need you to come, although you're probably the one he gets along with the best out of everyone. So he'd be like, yeah, sure, if you want to come, that's great. We can have more coffee. We can, you know, talk about Sailor Prom or, you know, bands or whatever. Because, like, again, like, our relationship is that you're the one teaching him about all of the mortal things. So he would be happy to just continue learning about mortal things, but probably doesn't necessarily, like, need you.
I think Essie might be potentially more useful with Rasmus. I think she'd be like, okay, you go deal with your weird book man. I'll go with Rasmus and make sure he doesn't destroy the city.
That's probably a better bet, actually.
Yeah, I like that plan.
Everyone else needs you to be with Rasmus to hold him in check.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening. Do we want to put an ad in there?
Yeah. Yeah, let's do one.
Yeah, Squeal Space. Gotta be Squeal Space, right?
Yes.
Rasmus, you want to tell me about Squeal Space?
Yeah. When I was a young being of unspeakable thought, I had to make my own pocket dimension. Such a hassle. I wouldn't have killed to have access to a service like Squeal Space. Squeal Space allows you to easily create a dimension of your very own without having to learn for... Oh god, what the hell did I write there?
God, do you think they, like, check the spelling on these ad reads before they send it to us, right?
I know, brutal. Just brutal. I'm gonna start it over again, because that's fucking appalling, frankly.
Infinite dimensions, and ours is the one where it's written like that.
Well, I mean, I'm the only one responsible for it, so there you go. When I was a young being of unspeakable horror, I had to make my own pocket dimension. Such a hassle.
Tell me about it.
I would have not killed to have access to a service like Squeal Space. Squeal Space allows you to easily create a dimension of your very own without having to fine-tune the physics of reality.
Yeah, it's so important when you're just getting off the ground.
And I mean, like, pocket dimensions, seriously, they're super-duper handy.
Simply pick one of Squeal Space's award-stealing templates and modify to fit your needs.
Thanks, Squeal Space. Of course, we only advertise products that we use ourselves.
I mean, y'all are subscribed to Skin Apron, right?
I wish Skin Apron was more green, frankly.
Oh, like crocodile.
Everything comes wrapped in hair.
Love all of these wonderful sponsors, like, coming out to support our show. Like, that's fantastic.
If you like this episode, you can leave us a review wherever you get your podcast. You can share it with your friends. That'd be super cool. And you can even visit our website, thegroupproject.com. And a huge thank you to Too Mellow for letting us use the song Except Myself as the intro and outro for this. It's just awesome that he lets us do that. You can check out all of his music at twomellowmakes.bandcamp.com. That's the number 2, MELLO, makes.bandcamp.com. Thanks for chipping in on the group project.